In today's scripture, Paul is writing to the church in Rome, and he has the first part of the letter, he's really focusing on how do we love God, and now we're beginning to shift to how do we love our neighbor, how do we love one another. In verse 12, he talks about the marks of our life, how our faith will look in expression. Then in the beginning of 13, he gets into this whole kind of what do we do with secular authority and how do we follow those rules and still follow Christ? And it's almost like at that point he's getting down into the kind of mud, and it's like he has this wake-up moment that's like, okay, yeah, that's all important, but let's get back to what's really important. And he writes in Romans 13, beginning with verse 8, he's been talking about taxes, right? Do you pay taxes? You know, owe no one anything except to love one another. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments: you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Besides this, you know what time it is, how it is now the moment for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far gone. The day is near. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, open to us this day your word. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all hearts here, be acceptable in your sight, you who are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So I remember when I got my first clock radio. It changed my world. Before that, I just had a little travel alarm. Not even a clock that plugged in. I think by that time I didn't have to wind it every night, but it had little batteries in it that would just go dead at random times. So it might just stop in the middle of the night, defeating the purpose. But what was really cool about this new clock radio is now I had a choice to how I would wake up. To the buzzer or to the radio? Now, I still have a clock radio on my nightstand, but really it's just there because it has an illuminated digital clock. So that in the middle of the night when I wake up, I can just kind of crack an eye and go, yeah, it's not time to wake up, go back to sleep. Or get up to go to the bathroom and go back to sleep. Some of us are that age. I can't remember the last time that I actually set that alarm. Ordinarily and sadly, I am usually up and about way before I need to be. But if I have an early morning, if one of you is having an early surgery and I want to come and pray with you beforehand, or I have a breakfast meeting, or an early flight to catch, I don't usually set the alarm on my clock on my nightstand, but the one on my phone, which opens up even more possibilities because there are a number of built-in options. The alarms range from gentle to strident. Some of them are soft, some of them gradually increase in volume, and some just blare at you. And you can pick any sound or song that you want, you can pick the option depending on how difficult it is for you to wake up and how important it is for you to wake up. And if you don't like any of those options, you can create your own. Any sound, any song, you can have that be what you wake to. We were talking about this passage this week in Bible study, and Alan was remembering back in the days when there was a station in L.A., a classical music station in L.A., that at 6 a.m. played a wake-up set because so many people set their alarms for 6 a.m. And they would play Bach's Sleepers Awake, followed by the Lord's Prayer. And he found that to be a wonderful way to start his day. But, you know, Alan, you could do this still today. You just have to put those two songs on your phone, and that could be what you wake up to every day. So I could find, if I wanted, the recording of the song that my mother always used to wake me, my brother, my Girl Scout troop up in the morning. She would come in, "Good morning to you, good morning to you. We're all in our places with bright shining faces. Good morning to you." Norma knows that. She probably tortured her children with this as well. So I think on second thought, I'm not putting that on my phone. But you get the idea. We could customize our wake-up calls to suit our preference and our circumstances. All that being said, the really life-changing invention that came along with clock radios was not the beginning of sound options, but the invention of the snooze button. I loved my snooze button in high school. I'd set my alarm early so I could hit it and go back to sleep. Once, twice, three times, which meant that often, even though I set it early, I didn't set it early enough, and I still got to enjoy my mother's serenade. But the snooze button was a blessing and a curse. It allowed you to ease into your day, but it also defeated the purpose of the alarm, which was to get you out of bed and into your day in a timely manner. In today's passage, I think what Paul is warning us against is living life by the snooze button. He is calling believers to wake up, to know what time it is. It is time to act. It is time to get busy. Time is running out. Days are getting darker. Jesus is coming, and we need to be ready. There is no place in the Christian life for snoozing. Let me take a little thing over here. That is not to say there is no place in the Christian life for napping. I think napping is sometimes the absolutely holiest choice we can make in our life. But snoozing is a whole different thing. Snoozing is knowing that you're supposed to be up and about and choosing to not engage, right? And we're not talking about literal snoozing right here, not rolling over, pulling the covers over your head, and though sometimes that is the snoozing we're talking about, but there are lots of ways that we can avoid seeing, much less responding to the challenges that God places before us. We can lose ourselves in our screens, numb ourselves through the overuse of alcohol or caffeine or food, distract ourselves with busyness, or a perennial favorite this time of year, go shopping, as if buying more stuff will also buy us time or happiness or joy. We go through the motions of life as if doing the right thing can substitute for being the right person. Did you notice how Paul argues for a lifestyle of love in this passage? He lists off a few of the top 10 commandments of God: don't commit adultery, don't murder, don't steal, don't covet, and then reminds them that all of these laws are summed up in the command to love your neighbor as yourself. For you see, we can follow the letter of the law and still miss the mark. It's not enough to just not be jealous. We need to celebrate one another. It's not enough not to kill someone. We need to enable life in others. We could keep the law, but that isn't enough for Jesus, because Jesus came to fulfill the law, not just keep it. And he invites us to do the same. As those who have experienced the life-changing power of the love of God that comes into our lives through Jesus Christ, we are to live as if that news matters. We are to live by the law of love, which is not a one-and-done calling. It's a daily, minute-by-minute invitation to open our eyes and our hearts and our lives to the love of God and the coming of joy into the world. It is a cycle of living that can transform our lives and the world. First, we wake. We pay attention. We dare to face the darkness. We watch for signs of the light. We stay engaged. And we do that by putting on Christ. We can't do this on our own. We can only stay awake, we can only dare action, we can only embrace joy by living the power and presence of the Spirit of Jesus, which is the Spirit of love. Love that embraces and sends us out to embrace others and causes us to shine. That's our mission statement here at Anaheim First Presbyterian, to shine the light of God through faith and service from the heart of Anaheim. God desires to shine through our lives, through our church, through our choices, through our words, through our actions. And then we get up and do it all over again. Over and over and over again. We wake, dress ourselves with Christ, seek to love others, shine with joy, and repeat. The second verse of the carol, Joy to the World, whose 300th anniversary we're celebrating, as I mentioned earlier, joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Love is in charge. Wake up. Pay attention. Get going. Let all our songs employ. Everyone is invited to join the divine love song, turning from evil and shining the light of God as we have received it into the darkness of our world. For Jesus came to be the light of the world, that, as John says in his prologue, a light that no darkness can ever overcome. Which is such magnificently good news that even creation wants to get in on the act, with fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains joining in as together we all repeat the sounding joy. Repeat, repeat the sounding joy. Wake, dress, love, shine, repeat. Wake, dress, love, shine, repeat. Repeat. Repeat the sounding joy, for salvation is nearer today than it has ever been before. Or at least that is the hope and prayer of this season. For there is no doubt that there is a need for Christ's love and light in our world. The ugliness of partisan politics, the rising tensions in the Middle East, shootings this week on two different naval bases in 2 days, and a gun threat at our own Brookhurst Junior High. Fortunately, it was a toy gun. The lack of accessible housing that drives our neighbors to the street, the refugee crisis not only on our borders, but all around the globe. And God's answer to all of this is love. Not love that is all emotion, nicely packaged and happily ever after Hallmark movie love, but love in action. Love that's a verb. Love that is the verb. Love that takes to the street and gathers everyone into the divine embrace over and over and over again. Elizabeth Milford, in her sermon on the passage, believes that right now in the world, love is what is at stake, and how we respond to it will make all the difference. As those who believe in the life-changing power of the love of God through Jesus Christ, we have to live like it matters. We have to follow the law of love And at times when love is threatened or challenged, that is even more important. And she recalls how in the wake of the senseless and heartbreaking attack on the Pulse nightclub 3 years ago in Orlando, Florida, at the Tony Awards, a winning speech broke through some of the darkness with words of light. Okay, there's going to be a spoiler here, so if you don't want to hear anything about Disney Candlelight Procession, la 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 la, okay? Lin-Manuel Miranda, composer, lyricist, playwright, actor, and narrator of tonight's Candlelight Procession, in his speech that was actually offered in the form of a sonnet, acknowledged that we live through times when hate and fear seem stronger. We rise and fall and light from dying embers. Remembrances that hope and love last longer. And love is 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 love cannot be killed or swept aside. Love repeated and repeated and repeated is the answer to the darkness of hate and fear. And it doesn't take much to ignite it. It can catch from dying embers. Love cannot be killed or swept aside, but calls us to wake and shine and wake and shine and wake and shine until the whole world resounds with God's love and joy. For as Alice McKenzie observes, whatever our day may hold each morning, the love of God shown to us in Jesus' death and ongoing life is our ringtone. It is melodic, urgent, heartbreaking, and heart-mending. It can see us through the things that delight us and the things we dread, which is a good thing, because as Paul points out, now is the moment to awake from sleep. So don't hit the snooze button, but wake. Dress yourself in Christ's love. Dress yourself in Christ, love, shine, and then repeat. Wake, dress, love, shine, repeat, repeat. Repeat the sounding joy of love. Amen.